It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, and welcome into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network. Man, what a busy day today, and yesterday as well. We had our formal announcement of the Bet America Radio Network yesterday. We got a ton of great feedback and support from folks all over social media and the racing media as well. I got a bunch of nice emails from people saying they're looking forward to shows, and I'm looking forward to having a lot of them on, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're kind of just doing a big tackling preview, because normally Friday nights going forward, we're going to be doing a Ustream webcast, kind of live covering the Friday night tournaments that are big Friday night qualifiers for the Las Vegas for the Horse Player World Series, which is coming up in a couple of months. But every Friday between now and the end of February, we're going to be doing these live broadcasts during the tournament. But since we're not doing one for tonight, January the 15th, I thought, well, let's do a little podcast here and talk about the races that are coming up. So Charlestown's having some track issues, so they had canceled Thursday night. And so we didn't want to risk having folks handicap for those races and then have them cancel. So the races are going to be from Turfway Park and Delta Downs. Turfway races 4 through 9. And I thought to myself, who would be a great person to talk to about races from Turfway Park? And I thought, you know what? Jimmy McNerney is my guy. He's a jockey agent for the leading rider there, Albin Jimenez. And Albin has a number of horses that are short price favorites in this sequence. So I really wanted to get Jimmy's take on these horses that his rider is going to be riding. Jimmy's also the announcer at Turfway Park when Mike Battaglia is out. Mike's kind of, there was an article in the Racing Forum about Mike transitioning out of the announcing game. He's been at Turfway for forever. And so I think literally forever, because I think he was actually announcing at Latonia before it became Turfway. But Jimmy's doing a couple of days a week there at Turfway. He's going to be announcing Saturday and Sunday. But I thought he'd be a perfect guy to talk about these horses with. And also, jockey agents, they're almost always the most fun guys at the racetrack to talk to. They always got a million stories. They kind of know everybody. And I just thought Jimmy would be a perfect person to preview the races from Turfway Park. It's races 4 through 9 at Turfway. Are part of the contest tomorrow night. So, again, we're doing these contests at BetAmerica.com for every Friday through February 26th. Each contest guaranteed to go. Doesn't matter how many entries there are. I mean, there could be 2 entries. There could be 110. I think 110 is the cap. I think there was 55 last week for the first one. And they're guaranteed to go no matter how many entries. And if you win, you get a $2,500 prize package that includes, well, I should say it's valued at $2,500. But it includes entry to the Horse Player World Series, which is coming up at the Orleans Casino March 31st through April 2nd, which is they're talking about a record prize pool of over $1 million this year at the Horse Player World Series. It's at the Orleans, so you'll get 4-night stay at the Orleans Hotel, round-trip airfare from anywhere here in the U.S., breakfast and lunches on contest days, racing forms, and an Orleans gift. So you're going to be all set if you could just take home this this event that's going to be happening tonight and every Friday night. It gets underway at 4:30 p.m. Pacific, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So there'll be a lot of great action on a Friday night. And like I said, I wanted to get my buddy Jimmy McNerney. He's an agent, announcer, handicapper. He's been around that area forever. He grew up going to Turfway Park. I thought Jimmy'd be the perfect guy to dive into this handicap. And so we're not going to do any jokes, any laughs. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun with Jimmy, but we're just going to get straight into it and do some handicapping, get some folks hopefully onto some winners and get somebody qualified for this fantastic tournament, the Horse Player World Series, coming up in Las Vegas, Nevada in a couple weeks. So we're going to head out to a break. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Jimmy McNerney, agent for Albin Jimenez, leading rider at Turfway Park, as well as announcer at Turfway Park. We'll be right back after this short timeout.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, back again here on the Bet America Radio Network, and very pleased to go out to the phones to somewhere, I'm assuming, in the state of Indiana. One of my favorite things to do is talk to jockey agents, because I feel like they have a little bit extra pulse on what's going on around the tracks, and I'm pleased to welcome in a longtime Midwest jockey agent, as well as the voice of Ellis Park, and kind of now the half-somewhat voice of Turfway Park, Jimmy McNerney. Jimmy Mack, what's going on?
Not much, Jason. Thanks for having me.
So I actually heard about this when the Turfway season started, that you were going to do some filling in for Mike. And it seems like we're, you know, I've had a lot of people go, who's that filling in for Battaglia? Who's that filling in for Battaglia? Well, you're the guy.
Yeah, I just I got a phone call early December, and I heard rumors of it last year that he'd be kind of trying to want to phase on out, but that was strictly rumors, and that was last March, and I haven't heard a thing. And 1st of December, I got a phone call, and he asked me if I'd be interested in kind of coming in and, you know, picking up a day a week for him so he could go, you know, play golf or travel or whatever, and that's turned into, you know, we're kind of splitting the duties right now, so it's pretty exciting to, you know, I'm from Florence, so, you know, be able to call theirs. You know, for a boy from here, he's kind of like, you know, pitching for the Reds or something. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure to call at Emerald Downs, which is my hometown track, and it is a little bit different when it's at a track that you spent so much time as a fan. And you know, I mean, I don't know if Turfway was where you really cut your teeth, but, you know, Emerald was where I cut mine, and it is special when you get a chance to get behind the mic at your hometown place.
Yeah, it was absolutely great, and that's, I mean, it's where I was pretty much born and raised. I went to high school, you know, probably a mile and a quarter from the racetrack, right down the street at Boone County High School. So, yeah, most all my nights and weekends from middle school and high school were at the track, actually. Funny thing, my middle school principal at the time also worked on the starting gate on the weekend. So I get a phone call to, you know, come to the principal's office and got in trouble, and he'd have the form laid out. I don't know if I knew anything for the night.
That's a very Kentucky principle, I think. working on the gate crew, especially, like, that's, you just don't imagine that. But I know the way you kind of got into the sport and the way I came about knowing you was, I think it was about 10 years ago. I started at River Downs, and you and Jamie Fowler and Wisby and everybody up at the agent's desk. How'd you get into being a jockey agent?
Well, I never even dreamt I would do it. I was working in the racing offices. You know, around Ohio and Kentucky, and I grew up, you know, like I said, around Turfway and River Downs, and became friends with a guy that was galloping horses who later became a jockey, and when I was working in the office, I used to, you know, kind of recommend him and steer business his way as much as I could without, you know, overstepping the lines, but I was up at Beulah as assistant race secretary, and I got a phone call from the jock and asked me if I'd be interested in quitting, and it was Rodney Prescott. It was my best friend at the time or whatever. And ended up quitting. And also at the same time, Perry Utz's agent left for Mountaineer back then with Dana Whitney, and he became available. So my first two jockeys were at Beulah Park, and it was Rodney Prescott and Utz, and they were 1-2. And, you know, I guess the rest is history. So,
how long were you with Rodney?
8 or 9 years, I believe. We won close to 3,000 races. We were together a long time, had a great run.
Yeah, Rodney's he's a guy you don't hear a lot about nationally. And Perry, we've started to hear more since he's been knocking off records the last couple of years. But, you know, that Indiana, Ohio, you know, kind of northern Kentucky circuit, Rodney is a top guy still, isn't he?
Yeah, top rider. Very, very underrated nationally on a national scale. But, I mean, he could go anywhere. He's kind of like, you know, nowadays you kind of, you know, there's a few little things on Oots last year about, you know, staying around, small circuit, family guy, little fish, and, you know, big fish, little pond or whatever. And that's kind of Rodney. Rodney's a true class act quality guy and has a lot of values and is very, you know, a very, I guess he's a family guy more so. And, you know, he's just grounded his roots. He don't want to go anywhere. He don't need the national spotlight. And, so he, you know, he does well wherever he goes, put it at the least.
Yeah, I remember him double dipping. He would do the day card at River Downs and then speed over to Indiana Downs. Was that your doing, asking him to do that?
Yeah, 1 year he ended up actually was leading right at River in the day and Indiana Downs at night. And I think that was the year we only got beat just like 3 or 4 wins by Russell Bays for the national win title. So, yeah, he's a hard worker and you know, very well respected around, you know, the Midwest.
Jimmy McNerney joining us on the phone, a longtime jockey agent, now voice at Ellis Park and Turfway Park. Jimmy, who's the best agent you've ever seen?
Oh, that's a good question. I've worked with a lot. Probably, I don't know. There's several.
What do you think are the biggest qualities that go into being a top agent? Because they always tell me agents lie, and I just don't believe it, because all you guys are such nice guys.
The number one answer is lie, and and be deceitful and backstabbing. No, I mean, I think it's you got to be able to, you know, you obviously got to work hard, and you got to the hardest thing, I think, you have to be able to, like, maintain and nurture the relationships that you mm-hmm. built up. That's the hardest thing, you know, with so many factors in racing, that you know, stuff that can happen with jocks and racing luck, and there's, you know, just so much to be able to, you know, day in and day out, grind it out, and you know, keep people happy. That's the hardest part. You know, as far as the best agent ever, I've worked around a lot of them. I don't know if I could pick just one out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of our mutual friends, Steve Peary, who still does a little bit of book back there, he used to tell me his nickname was Bullet because he'd been fired so many times. He told me, he said it's not the safest business, because one day everything's going great, and the next minute your rider takes a fall or he fires you, and you know, there, he goes, it's not like you go get unemployment right away.
Nah, there's so many different, so much stuff could happen, you know.
Yeah.
You got, you know, between injuries and that, and you know, if you do really well, then you got to worry about everybody else that's at a better track in the country trying to steal the guy.
Trying to poach your guy, yeah. Have you had that happen before?
Oh, multiple times, yeah. Multiple times. I've had guys several times, elite riders that, you know, had the bright eyes and, you know, was promised the world, and they went elsewhere only to later come on back to this area. But, you know, I've always wished them the best. And, you know, even I've had some guys I've done well with and have gotten the phone calls and not hit it from me and asked me. And I pretty much, you know, if I thought it was a good deal for them, I'd tell them to go take a shot, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know the guy you got right now that's your main guy, Albin Jimenez, a top guy in that area right now. I know he's way atop the Turfway standings just after a couple of weeks here, and I think he was leading rider at Indiana too, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was his first full season at Indiana this year, and he was, I think his leading rider, had a great meet and built a lot of contacts up. Got lucky and held on. He was actually injured for 4.5-5 weeks of the meet, but it was a long enough meet we overcame, and you know, he's another class act that I really like working for, and you know, people seem to like him. He works hard. He's a good family man too.
How old of a guy is he?
Yeah, 22, maybe 23.
Oh, so young kid.
He might be 23, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
He's actually got three brothers that just graduated, all in the same class over in Panama. So, and they're like, I think one's older, one's 16, one's 18, one's 24, and they all just got out of school at the same time. He actually just got back a couple weeks ago from going to the graduation. But he was the first in the family of riders, but now there's three quickly following him. So they're
all under 118 pounds.
Yeah, about half my left side.
It's about my right leg, buddy. Well, Jimmy, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on was because Bet America Friday nights, we do this this really cool tournament where people are trying to qualify for the Horse Play World Series. It's a $25 buy-in, and top prize gets buy-in to the World Series. They get hotel, you know, the whole nine yards. And the contest tomorrow night is made up of races from Turfway and Delta. And I figured, well, hey, if I got a buddy that's the leading jockey agent at Turfway, I looked at this sequence, Jimmy, and a lot of these races are going to go through your rider.
Yeah, it appears like it. Looking over it, I was just like, you know, I hate to be pounding my own chest, but he looks alive in most of the races in your sequence there.
Yeah, the first race in the sequence is the fourth race. It's three-year-old fillies at a mile, and I believe it's maidens, and you got a lot of horses that haven't done a whole heck of a lot of running, and you're riding the 9 Adopt a Kitten for, you know, when you hear kitten, it's Ken and Sarah Ramsey. It's Wesley Ward, who's 60% at the meet right now, and you know, always a top conditioner. And this is a horse taking a really big drop. Is this just a matter of getting him to the basement and trying to get a win?
I think that's what it is. She's, you know, she's worked a couple times here, one published work there. And, you know, Wesley and the Ramsey, they're known for, you know, taking an edge. And I just think, you know, with being a, you know, homebred or whatever, you know, they like to get as many wins, as much earnings on them sire in mares as they can. And mm-hmm. I think anything close to the, you know, this one's best, just is absolutely annihilates this field. I mean, the mare hasn't thrown a lot. She's thrown five horses, three of them winners, and I think this will be the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it never hurts to be a winning daughter of Kitten's Joy when it comes breeding time. And,
no.
You know, I think the aside from the fact that, you know, she's taking a big class trip, the surface is a little bit of a question because, you know, Turfway runs on that synthetic surface. But it's always been pretty friendly from turf horses coming on to Turfway synthetic, hasn't it?
Exactly, yeah, that's a huge angle. Most people, you know, if they can run on the turf, it kind of transfers on over to the poly. It is her first poly start, but I don't think, especially with the way she worked over it a couple of days ago, she won't have no problem with the transition, I don't feel.
Well, Jimmy, handicap and tournament folks are going to be looking for prices. Anybody in here you think might be a bit of a wake-up play if your horse doesn't run?
Yeah, if you're trying to go against it and get a price, I like a horse that actually DNF'd in her last start. The horse right to the inside of her, the 8. The horse was second on debut against in the same level and then came back and was distance last time. I actually was calling the races that night. The horse just appeared to, I don't know if she's ever been worked in behind horses or whatever, but as soon as she got their dirt to face, her head immediately went up, and her action went funny. She was cross-firing, or she lost her action in the back end. And I don't know if she was just kind of eased on around her. She actually didn't pull. She finished, but, she kind of just galloped around there. But, she came back, worked 5 days later, pretty good work down at the training center in Lexington, half of 48. That's a super heavy track, and, pulling up like that, they would have had to reason for the vet. So I don't see any soundness issues, and I think with all the money on the 9 adopted kids, it's probably going to go up 1-5. I think the 8 probably drift up somewhere in the, 15-20 to 1 range.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the, getting the I guess we say dirt, but the poly track in her face.
Not poly, right.
The first start, she was right on the lead and took the lead, it looks like early on the turn. And so I think you might be onto something in the sense of not liking that. And having that outside draw might actually help a little bit because, your horse is not a speed horse by any means. And so, maybe having an outside draw, she can kind of keep, that horse out in the clear. And it does go back to, is it Maita or Maita, the rider?
Yeah, Maita.
Yeah, I noticed he was on the first start and then wasn't on last time.
Yeah, so he gets return calls. So he's familiar with the horse, and I just, if summary, reason this horse taking the plunge of Wesley's and the Ramsey don't get there, I think this horse, she'll be right in the mix nonetheless. If she can't run down the 9, I think she'll be right there.
Well, another 9 horse you got in the next race. Not winners of 2, I always say this is like the Ohio bread and butter because it seems like you see some of these horses 30 times at this condition.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's a race you've filled many, many times. The horse you got in here, Donna's Holiday, again, drawn on the outside, has been knocking on the door at this level, and even last time was up a step. I mean, is it just a matter of finding the right group to win with this horse?
I think so, and I think she's found the right group here. I mean, you can see on her card there, she's, she went for 10, dropped 75, couldn't be found, come back for 5, and they raised her. So I don't think there's much difference between the 75 and the 5 at Turfway. It just depends on which race is actually carded in front, in the condition book. They're kind of the same horses. But this filly doesn't have to be on the lead. She can, if she finds herself in the lead, I think she can walk the dog. If not, she can sit right off the pace and I think she'll finally get the job done. She should have got it done 2 starts back when she got beat that neck. The chart don't really show it, but she was bothered probably the last 70 yards in the race, actually claimed foul against the winner and somehow was not put up. But nonetheless, I think she'll get the job done in this race.
Now, I noticed you jumped off last time. But is that your bug boy that took over the mount?
Yeah, the guy that rode last time, that was my bug boy, and I actually jumped off to ride the winner. That
was I love it.
A horse dropping from 15 was like second or third at Churchill. So she ran against a much tougher field last start than anything in this race has.
Does the trainer understand that when you say, hey, man, I'm – because he was actually favored last time, this horse.
Yeah, well, Ben does. He gets it.
Yeah.
Ben's a – good up and coming. You'll hear a lot from him in the future. He's, I think he might be up to 60 or 80 head now. He's a former Christoph Kolman assistant.
Okay.
And starting to train for a lot of the big names.
It's Ben Colbrook we're talking about.
Yeah, in Lexington and in racing. So he understands. Not always trainers do, but most of them get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to even, it's hard to ask. you get put in a spot, but ultimately your job is to ride the best horse. Every race, if you can, without if it's going to hinder a relationship or burn a bridge, you probably get on to your word. But the old saying, "Spin to win." So.
Yeah, I didn't know that old saying, but I'm going to start using it now, Jimmy.
Actually my corporation. I got incorporated under that name. So.
what do you make of the number 4 horse in here, Kudzu Dance, who's Perry Utz's mount? It goes to a barn I haven't heard much about, the Derek Bright barn, but who won at a pretty fair clip over the last year or so.
Yeah, he hasn't raced around here much. A few years ago, he was around here, but he was a guy from southern Southern Kentucky or Western Kentucky. I really don't know where he's from, but I remember this horse. Tommy Short actually had this horse.
Up the mountain.
Indiana bred. The horse is going to be fresh. You know, Ooch, he'll have her on the lead. So if she can get out there, I don't know. You know, she only shows two works. I'm sure she's had to have more than that, but the 6.5 furlong would be my only question. You know, she kind of stops about 6 furlongs, to me, appears to be her probably ultimate distance. But like I said, Derek Bright, it's kind of a question mark for me, to be honest.
Jimmy McNerney joining us on the phone. We're going over the races from Turfway Park, races 4 through 9 that are part of the Horse Player World Series qualifying tournament coming up Friday. They'll be going on each and every Friday through the end of February, so be sure to check those out at betamerica.com. Jimmy, race number 6, the 3-year-old fillies. Now, this is a situation where I'm glad I got you on the phone because you got a 1-1A combination and you're named on both of the horses. What do you expect to happen with this race?
Well, normally I would expect to I think he only runs one.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, just because the second part of the entry just showed a work last week at you know, down in Florida, I'm assuming she's there. She may be back. You know, Wesley moves horses around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't been one that we've worked. He's actually been shipping a bunch of horses up to Turfway at least 3 times a week working from Keeneland. But I imagine he'll only run one, but I'm not sure. You know, to be honest,
yeah.
If I have my pick, I'm probably going to call him and ask him who's better. But I'd probably ride the one just because I know the work on New Year's Eve, or maybe it was the day before New Year's. Yeah, December 30th.
Yeah.
The doc called me as soon as he jumped off her and says, I don't know who this filly is, but look up a filly named Bottle Walk. She's just absolutely freaked.
Yeah, and you know the old Saratoga to Turfway angle we see so often.
Yeah, right. She's getting the blinkers off. You know, I don't know, you know, Wesley's reasoning for that, but I mean, you know, maybe to make her not be so, you know, headstrong on the lead. I guess maybe she's trying to get her to relax a little bit.
Yeah, this race is one of those ones where you got to look for some. You got to look a little bit deeper than some of the past performances because, you know, the horses numbers 2, 3, 4 all have just the one start, and they were all pretty well trounced in that race. The 5-horse, same thing, you know, beaten by 29 lengths. You know, only a couple horses in the field were beaten less than 10 in their last start.
So yeah.
It's certainly not a sharp form race. They do have the 2-to-1 boarding line on the outside runner. What do we do now? And I'm guessing that's based off that decent first-time start at this level.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at when I looked at it. And he wasn't well back that day, but the horse ran a winning race. I actually remember the race. I went back and watched it when I was looking over the charts. And the horse, it shows circled 5 wide on the chart. I think he might have been even further out than that. But ran a winning race, and I think they thought enough of her to bring her back. I don't know why on the stretch out, but that race, she absolutely had the worst of it. She was 9 wide in the first turn, made a middle move, and looked like she just, you know, get absolutely tired. I think with that tightener under the belt, if, you know, in a race, like you said, that's absolutely wide open, I don't, you know, don't know what to make of the Wesley Ward horses. I'm sure on class and pedigree and connections alone should be able to handle this. But the 9's actually a horse I did like in my second spot.
We were just talking about this number 9 horse and the 5-wide trip. I worked right next to the Equibase office for years, and I would hear sometimes trainers, agents, jockeys would get upset if they thought they weren't as wide as the chart man said. The chart man might say 5-wide, and they're like, no, I was only 3-wide at the most, because I think they think it's a reflection on them. Do you ever see that where the charts are, you know, not maybe flattering to your rider?
Yeah, sometimes, but you mentioned the guy's name earlier that does him around here, and we're pretty good friends. I kind of don't pick on him too much, Steve Perry, but you know, it's hard. Sometimes it can affect business.
Yeah, race number 7. We'll move on to the late pick 3 here, Jimmy. Go ahead.
I did have a horse in that race. If you're going to try to beat it, I do like a horse at a price for the price players, and that's the 5. Graceful Gardenia.
Is that just because you're Ellis Park guy and it's after the Gardenia?
Yeah. Well, now it's called the Groupie Doll. Groupie Doll is close to my heart, too. So.
Yeah.
No, but I just like her. She's she was well back the first time. The board don't show up, but the entire High Point Training Center bet on her, and she was beat by Billy Dinsick piece that day. But I did talk to them guys and, you know, asked what they thought, and she bled that day. You know, She's getting first Lasix, and she's going to be, you know, 1,000,000 to 1. So I think she's definitely worth a play there.
for Corey Orm, who's represented by, once again, our buddy Steve Peary.
He's famous tonight.
I love me some Steve. He's one of my favorite people in racing. Do you ride every race on the card tomorrow?
I think so.
Does your rider ever get steamed at you, or does he want to ride every race? Does he ever say, hey,
no,
can
he
you...
No, he wants to. He don't want to be sitting in the room.
Now, for some reason, you seem to have drawn the 9-hole a lot, because in race number 7, you're in the 9-hole 5-1 on a horse named Tupelo Tide, who, you know, again, looks like just missed at this condition by a whisker to a horse that just came back to win. But that was, you know, first start off a little bit of a layoff. I got to think at 5-1, you might actually like your chances in here a little bit.
Yeah, I like her, actually. They hadn't even galloped out yet, and I had called that trainer. probably not, you know, real ethical or whatever. I guess I could have waited a little longer. But the jock actually fell asleep that day that rode the horse and never seen the horse coming and got nabbed on the wire. And they were pretty heated, got into it after the race. And like I said, the guy immediately called me. You know, he didn't answer, but then he called me right back, and I talked to him after he talked to the jock and gave me the mount. And like you said, it ran against a kitten top cat. She came back and win. That was a Ramsey and Ward horse, and she was claiming her next start, who she ran second to. So I think with that tightener, I like her. I'm actually – put her second. I like the 3 in here, Miss Honey,
who's this nice 6-1 price for the Tom Drury Barn. He's kind of a long time trainer around those parts, isn't he?
Yeah, he's born and raised around there and does a great job. He gets a lot of horses ready for, you know, Bill Mott and Al Stalls, and he does a lot of groundwork for them, but he also trains on his own and he just wins. You know, I like the trainer change on this horse from Ashcraft going to Drury. I think Drury's somewhere around 22-23% horses with first start in his barn, and I think it's even higher than that on horses coming off the layoff. But the filly's well bred, was a $170,000 purchase at Keeneland in September 13 in the sale. The class drop and the barn change, that's enough for me.
For Miss Honey at 6-1 morning line in race number 7. Race number 8 is a pretty nice little race here. Starter allowance, but you get a lot of horses in here with some pretty strong figures, some good form, horses that can come from off the pace. It's a mile race. I actually thought this was kind of a really fun looking race.
Yeah, it was a wide open race. A lot of different angles. The starter allowances, I tell you, this meet have been absolutely tough.
Yeah.
There's actually later on in the week, the horse that was horse of the year on the wins last year, 12 for 15. There's a filly one dominating around here. And this one is not lack of talent either. My probably top pick, I don't like to be the chalk eater, but I like the 11 Tapana, just the connections, Mike Maker. The horse has got 13 Turfway starts, 10 for 13 in money, 6 wins. Last 3 wins at Turfway have been winners. And he's a half to Hanson, who we all know, you know, owner of nearly $2 million. He won the Turfway Juvenile over the same surface, and the horse trains well here. And I think the return to the Turfway surface should be enough for this one in a race that I think is loaded with talent.
Yeah, they tap at 300, that big 300,000 next to his name. I don't think it was quite that much when they bred this horse, being an 8-year-old. But this horse put together a pretty nice little resume, 126,000 over the years. You know, hitting that 100 grand mark. I guess it's more of a big deal in the Northwest, where, you know, when we would see horses running for 6 grand every night. But you know, one thing I wanted to ask you about that horse, Johnny McKee's a rider who kind of tasted the big time for a little while, and now is kind of back, you know, settled in the Turfway Park, you know, kind of levels. You know, what's your take on him as a rider? Because he was, you know, with Lawyer Ron and stuff like that, he was getting to be a little bit of a big-time name.
Yeah, he was definitely getting to be a household name. He was the leading rider, the one Churchill meet, albeit, I mean, it was via the year they had the strike. But, you know, the business at Oakland, I don't know if he's leading rider at Oakland or second, but I know there for a couple years in a row. Yeah, you know, he was doing very well down there. Like you said, rode Loyal Ron, a couple other good horses for Mr. Holfus. And I think he kind of just, business fell off. You know, he switched agents. His agent at the time, Eddie Campbell, passed away, and he went to another agent and just kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
You know, some new riders came around, fresh faces came around, and that kind of happens around here. You know, whether it's talent-wise you fall off or not, most of the time it isn't. It's just, you know, people always looking for the next new thing, and he just got lost in the shuffle, and I think he kind of hung around longer than he should have, to be honest. I think he should have went to the River and Turfway circuit, you know, a lot sooner, just to kind of, kickstart his career. I don't know if he waited too long, but, I mean, he's the guy to get the job done. you know, he knows his way around there. Yeah. I don't think you lose a whole lot with him. I just, I think he's trying to kickstart his career again, and he might have waited a little too long, but he fits with them guys there at Turfway.
That's oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I was curious because, you do see that. Gary Stevens, I remember reading his book and him talking about when he left Portland and Long Acres to go down south, and he said it was just a nightmare. And, he gave it a second try and it worked out really well. Russell Bayes has always, tried it a little bit and it never really worked out. And, sometimes cracking that ceiling to that next level is a tough thing for a rider.
Yes, it is. It's very tough. And sometimes, it pays to stick in there and do it. And sometimes, like I said before, you can stick around too long and go stale. And, then what happens with them guys a lot of times, I think they belong at that level and they belong to have a lot of business to be lead rider. So then they go somewhere new. If they don't catch on right away, they move again. Then all of a sudden you get them moving around and everybody knows they move. Nobody wants to give them a shot because they know they're going to be gone in a couple of months.
And back there, it's amazing how many tracks there are within, a 5-6 hour drive from each other. It's not like over here where, everybody kind of settles in once. You guys can ride any one of 10 tracks on a given day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your horse in that ninth race, real quick, Bold Ice, 4-1 on the morning line, coming off a win at the starter allowance 5,000 level. That was last year at Turfway Park for Victor LeBron. Now shows up here at Turfway, where hasn't really had a lot of success. 0-4. Does the surface worry you a little bit with this one?
Yeah, the horse never won on synthetic. I think the horse is going to be bet just because Jimenez gets the call lead rider. I mean, yeah, he did win a starter at Churchill, but he was 14-1 that day to do it, and that race wasn't that tough. I mean, Dyna Beaver, that was a Lucas horse that was second. He broke his mane at Ellis Park for a nickel, and, I just don't – he's an okay horse in his own right, but I don't think he's a good quality starter horse. And, I mean, I'm going elsewhere against him. I rode the horse just because I couldn't find anything better, and he did just win at Churchill. But, I think it's to the outside horse. And also the 9, that's a horse I found interesting, was Owl Creek. I don't know that the 1.25 was to his suiting last time. Did come fine and just missed, but Kim Hammond's having a remarkable meet. She just got beat for leading trainer the first meeting here on the last day by Maker. Maker had to win 3 the final night of the meet, racing meet to do it. But this is a horse who's going to come from out of it. Last start, the horse that was on the lead first beat walked the dog the whole way, and nobody went with him. But I think there'll be enough pace in this race for this horse to come running right along with Tampa Anna.
And that last one, was at 1.25? Was that part of like a distance series?
Nah, a lot of places they do that. They alternate it. And, even some tracks around like River, I think we used to have a sanded side series. But
yeah.
Nah, this is one of those ones that gets, that doesn't get longer with every race or anything. We don't even have a distance series anymore. It was just, for some reason, Tyler decided to card that. And it filled. I think it got 11 scratched down to 9 or something. But, it was just a single race. It was in the book. It was no series or anything.
I love when they mix it up like that. I miss the days where, you look at old programs from the 80s and 90s and you see a 1.3 race almost every weekend. And sometimes it's fun to have those little odd distance races, especially as an announcer.
Yeah, those are neat. We used to have them when I was up at Beulah. They're called early on it was just like a series, and then Bluegrass Warrior, he used to dominate us, and now then it was called the Bluegrass Warrior. And they every 2 weeks it would get further. And then, Ellis, we had him as a kid in the summer, and always I would look forward to the final day of the meet, you'd get that twice around.
The 2 mile,
the last race of the day. So those are neat, and I think the fans like them. And like you said, to call them is pretty neat. I don't get to call a couple of them, but it's pretty exciting.
Gulfstream had a guy a couple weeks ago do the 2-lapper. Because my first cradle day at River in 06, was it Jorge Collazo or it was, I think it was Jorge Collazo. He, it was a 2-lap turf race and he come turning for home, whipping and grinding on the horse. And I remember I was so tired after the cradle and all this big thing that I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to have some fun. And so I said, they come to the wire with 1 lap to go. And he's pulling up on the horse. And I said, and she's a little bit tired. We kind of understand, I kind of cracked on him a little bit, but, Do you tell your jocks, like, hey, dude, remember, this is a 2-lap race?
Sometimes you have to, especially the ones with the language barrier.
Yeah.
That brings me a funny story back at Hoosier several years ago. I think he was still a bug boy. Bayerano did it.
Yeah.
And he did it there, and it was on a horse of Greenhill, and he turned for home, went to sticking and driving, and won, as he thought, by 25, and then pulling up. you know, the guys yelled to him, hey, we got another round. Well, they called in the trainer, or Jeff didn't get them mad, but some of the bettors called the stewards, where they called him in the next day. And the interpreter got called in, which was his valet, Ramiro Torres. And he's like, I told him, you know, he's like, you sure? He's like, yeah, I told him. Well, when they asked Bejarano, you know, what happened, he used to look at the top of the program, you know, where it shows the diagram.
The little circle, yeah, the oval.
Yeah, whatever's colored in, that's how far he knows how far he's going.
Yeah.
So his defense was there wasn't two dark circles. It was just colored in one.
That's tremendous. Yeah, because I remember that when he got started, he was at kind of river, because I remember he dominated Turfway for a couple seasons in a row, and then he was kind of off and running.
Yeah, that's all it took. He actually, you know, he come into Hoosier, took him a while to get going, and then he kind of did there in River, and like you said, he got to Turfway that first meet, and he didn't catch, I had Prescott then, he didn't catch us the first meet, but the January, the winter's, the holiday meet, rather, he didn't, but the next one, he just run off.
Yeah, I remember him crushing everybody.
And dominating, that led to other things. You know, Turfway's been a kind of a breeding ground for riders to do that, to go on. I mean, Lake Rue was here for years and did it. And, you know, he did it. And there's, you know, Willie Martinez back in the day. There's a lot of them. Hope the next one's Alvin Jimenez.
Well, it seems to be a lot of guys will take that and try to go into Churchill. And if they can do it there, then that seems to be a little bit of the path, as to, because you do make some connections that go down to Keeneland and Churchill.
Yeah, you make a lot of good inroads there winning for them people. It used to be more so when it was 5 days a week, and you got a lot of the more Kentucky guys stuck around instead of sending their string to you know, fairgrounds. And now that Oakland's got the, you know, instant race or whatever, the majority of them went then. But that was kind of the reasoning. You know, it was a good way to break in and you know, build a good rapport with people.
All right, Jimmy McDerney joining us, and we're talking about the Turfway races for Friday night, January the 15th, part of the Horse Player World Series qualifier here at Bet America. And ninth and final race at Turfway Park. Jimmy, I know your rider, Alvin Jimenez, on a 9-2 shot here, named Sophie for Mike Maker. You know, even though the horse has not had the best form, the Mike Maker-Jimenez combination is going to make this horse take money.
It's going to take a lot of money, and it's not going to take any of mine, but it is going to take a lot. And I rarely say that with him and Maker. I think this race is absolutely wide open. The only question is, I don't know what happened to her last time, and Alvin doesn't either. I mean, she was basically pulled out. He tried to pull her up, but she ended up going around there. She was getting out both turns, and he said, you know, if he threw her head away, she'd still done it. If he grabbed her, you know, sometimes you got to give and go with him a little bit, and he said nothing he could do would work. And I don't know if it was just on the stretch out or what it was, but now if she would have been going back short, I probably would have bet her. I probably would have picked her on top, but I'm gonna take the old wait and see approach. She has come back since then, and bullet worked here just a couple days ago, but I'm gonna try to beat her.
With who?
Well, good question. I'm probably gonna go with the horse that's gonna take a little bit of money. Like if I'm playing a try or something, I like the four.
Uh-huh.
The four just missed last start, and I think Corey might have pushed the button a little too soon. I mean, going into 3/8 pole, he had a hand. He looked back literally from a 3/8 pole to a quarter pole for competition. And then when he gave her head, he left the rail open. The horse had come and beat him. They beat the rest of the field by about five and a half lengths. But he just left the rail, and he got nailed right on the money. And I think if he learns from the mistake, and with that tightener, the track is a little bit heavy, and it's not real conducive to speed. But I think that there's not a whole lot of speed in this race. Generally, my picks, like the horses come from out of it, down the center of the track kind of deal. But I think this horse could get loose and probably walk the dog. I do like a couple of long shots behind her, the 6 and the 9. Both of those horses will be prices, and I think both those horses will benefit their last starts over the track.
Yeah, the 9, Taliaferro County, I'm a Brisnet PP guy, and he's got the third highest prime power number, and getting first time Lasix, you got to think might. But, you know, that last start wasn't that bad, was only beaten four and a half lengths, and you see 7 path on the turn. That's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, didn't have the greatest of trip. I don't mind the added distance. I mean, the horse is out of by Temple City, rather. I mean, he was a notable distance horse. I think he won the Cigar out of Del Mar a few years ago. Carl Gaines trained him. But I think the distance will help. Obviously, the first Lasix will help. And it's going to be a huge price. Just like the 6, Shopping with Bill, that's another horse with Ben Colbrook we spoke on earlier.
Uh-huh.
That horse just absolutely needed the distance. Ben called me immediately after the race and said, whatever you do, ride this horse back going long. They won't beat her. And so I told him, yeah. Then I had to tell him at 11:30 morning of entry, so I couldn't make her show up in the race. But
now with you know, when you say when Maker shows up in the race, I mean, sometimes you got to ride one for him, you know, that probably doesn't have the best shot in order to ride the ones that do. Is that kind of how it works?
Well, yeah. Well, sometimes a lot of people it does, and you know, guys like deal with like Mike or you know, Tom Amos or what. A lot of the times, those guys, when the book comes out, they give you their calls. They know where they're going. This particular race was an extra. It was just one of those things. I didn't talk to him until later. But most of the time, you, with the better outfits, they're on top of their business. Now, every once in a while, something happens. You know, a race might not go at another track, and then you get the call at 11 o'clock, hey, I'm putting one in here. And it's not you ride the bad one or you don't ride them all, you know. Mm-hmm. I just kind of sometimes them guys, I don't like them if leave them hanging, you know. They're a big supporter, and they help you a lot. And, you know, if something changes, they got to go in late. I don't like to stick them with you know, if I get them a good rider, you know, I will. But if I can't get them a, you know, second, third lead rider, a guy I think's capable, as opposed to leaving them with just anybody, I'll ride a worse horse than I probably should.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated by the whole agent lifestyle. And there's a lot of characters that have that job. One of my favorite guys, I don't know if you ever met this guy or not in your travels, but this guy, Mike Delnick, he was kind of a top guy in the Northwest for a lot of years. And we're playing in a golf.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we're playing in a golf tournament at Portland. And it was me, Steve Perry, this guy Delnick, and then Jonathan Nance, who was leading trainer at Portland. And we're sitting there first tee. I go, boy, I hope we win today. And he looks at me and he goes, hey, I'm keeping score. We're going to win.
We already have.
And I said, you can't do that. And he goes, let me tell you something, son. The most dangerous wood in my bag isn't my driver. It's my pencil.
Yeah, there's quite some characters, you know. One of the greatest agents around this area, Dennis Cooper. I don't know if you ever met him or spoke with him, but he's quite the storyteller. He's got the stories, and you know, I mean, there's a guy that, you know, golfs with Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley all the time. But he's got a bunch of stories about, you know, he tells this one story at Arlington. They were showing the space shuttle go up or whatever, and he's standing there, and you know, the whole group around. That's back when he was, you know, he had Guidry and Rene Douglas, all lead riders. So he kind of ran the place.
Uh-huh.
He's sitting there and just looks up at that shuttle and says, you know, that was the scariest day of my life. So what? He said, I've never been so scared. When we went up that shuttle the last time, it just starts with this big elaborate story, and 30 or 40 people gather around us, and they just start listening to him. And he told it like he was there. Everybody went for it. But he had to sit it. They didn't know if they were flying upside down when they were landing, so he had to put a glass of water on the thing. The only way they knew if they were flying right side up is if the water wasn't spilling. I mean, there's a lot of characters.
Is he an older guy with white hair?
Yeah, he's real tall. He's always got a big wad of chew in his mouth. I don't know how much hair he's got left, but he's got a little, white on the sides anyway.
Gotcha. All right, Jimmy, well, we'll let you go. Really appreciate your time. Jimmy McNerney joining us, voice of Ellis Park. Also, Turfway, you're going to be announcing this weekend at Turfway, right?
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday I'll be filling in down there. So.
Well, tell my camera buddy Dave Albani hello. Is he still there at Turfway?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same crew. It's like Jeff's still there and all those guys.
Yeah, the same crew. The guys bounce back and forth between River and Turfway, and now it's such abbreviated meet, and you know, they could just stay home. You know, they can't really go anywhere else. So.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy. Well, I appreciate your time, and we'll be back after the short time out here on the Bet America Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right. Thank you, Chantel, and thank you to Jimmy McNerney for joining us tonight here on the Bet America Radio Network in the barn. Best of luck to everybody tonight in the Turfway contest. Again, it kicks off at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Races 4 through 9 at Turfway, as well as racing from Delta Downs. And up for grabs is a shot for free entry, hotel, racing forms, breakfast, lunch, all sorts. A great prize package for the Horse Player World Series coming up in the end of March, early April. And don't forget, if you don't qualify tonight, you still got 6 more weeks to go till the end of February. We'll be doing live coverage via Ustream. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Bet America Radio Network. Well, thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can always find us at betamerica.com/extra. We'll have all sorts of fun stuff there. Everybody have a great weekend.